14, the House Labor and Commerce Committee is hereby convened for the record in attendance as Representative Mackey, Porter, Green, Chairman Hudson. Anybody else is out looking for eggs?
I was, Joe, but I got a call that said the chairman would really like it if I showed up, so.
There's cooperation.
Are we on teleconference?
Yes.
Listen on me.
No, not for 252, I think we have testimony for 251.
Not for 220.
Okay.
The bottom three there.
Okay.
220, we're not hearing.
All right, if you'll look at our schedule here, today we are postponing House Bill 220, and I think at the request of the sponsor, aren't we?
Yes.
220.
That was both, yes.
Yeah. And we're going to take up essentially two issues. One of them is House Bill 252, refinancing commercial fishing loans, and then House Bill 50 and 51 are the two bills that are necessary for the intertie issue. And we are going to take those up, and it's the chair's intentions to at least try to make 50 and 51 a little more commensurate with the current action that's happening in other places in the Capitol here in the interest of time.
We can say Senate here if we want.
We can say the other body. If there was another body.
What, you say you have a proposed amendment for Southeast Intertie in there somewhere?
We do.
Is that what you're saying?
So, so with that, I'd like to invite Representative Moses, if you would come up and tell us all we need to know about House Bill 252.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We are.
Any members? I'm Representative Moses. I have introduced House Bill 252 to give the Department of Commerce the authority to refinance existing commercial fishing loans. Most of the 1,200 commercial fishermen who now have state loans are paying 10.5% in interest rates. Regulations provide for new fixed rate loans at 2% above the bank prime rate. Since the current bank prime rate is 6%, current commercial fishing loans are now at 8% rates. However, the Department of Commerce has no mechanism to allow for current loans to be refinanced to take advantage of the lower interest rates that are currently available. Commercial fishermen have been faced these past few years with low prices and unpredictable fish returns. Following disastrous 1991 salmon season, the Department of Commerce approved loan extensions for nearly half the existing loans. More than 3,000 fishermen are reportedly in arrears this year to the Internal Revenue Service for back taxes. The commercial fishing industry is obviously in bad shape. Allowing fishermen to refinance their loans and reduce their monthly payments is one obvious way the legislature can help the industry out. Although there is a cost for such a refinancing program, there is sufficient cash flow in the revolving loan fund to accommodate it. Additionally, fishermen would have an easier time making their payments if their loans were at lower interest rates.
Are there any questions of the prime sponsor of this legislation at this time? Carl, I believe at this time what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask, since we have a couple of other people on testifying, you're welcome to join us if you would at the table, Representative. We're going to go ahead and ask Martin Richard from Commerce and Economic Development to come up and tell us the department's position on House Bill 252. And then following that, I have one person in Kodiak, Mr. Bruce Schaffler, and Bruce will be getting to you in a few moments here. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, my name is Martin Richard. I'm the Director of Investments for the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. The legislation and HB 252 would allow the department to refinance existing loans. As Representative Moses stated, approximately 98% of the current loans on the books for the Commercial Fishing Fund were made at 10.5%. The current statutes do not allow us to refinance our own loans, and this would allow us to do that and give the borrower the new rate of 8%, which is currently available. The fund itself is a quite a healthy fund. It's one of the better performing state loan programs, and it would mean approximately $1.6 million less in interest repayments coming into that fund each year. The fiscal note that we provided shows that we would get about $328,000 in origination fees during the first year to refinance those loans, and then subsequent to that, we would lose about $1.6 million a year in lost interest.
Lose about
$1.6 million in interest.
Would not receive because of the lower interest rate.
Less than what we're getting now.
Presently, we get about $6,700,000 in interest a year.
Would there be any loss? Would there be any loss in the amount that is now owed to the state?
No. The outstanding principal balance would remain the same.
I see.
If you drop them 20%.
So the loss is in the interest, in the reduced interest, sort of like a refinancing at a lower interest rate.
Exactly. The difference between 10.5% and 8%.
Do you have any idea how many loans outstanding that would potentially move over to this line?
There are approximately 1,266 loans right now, and the 10.5% rate has been charged for the last 13 years. So we estimate about 98% of those existing loans would
Representative Porter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When the rate was set, was this at commensurate bank rates for loans or below or above?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Porter, the regulations that we promulgated last summer and became effective November 28th, we essentially took the rate at the time the last change in the commercial fishing statute that set it at 10.5. At that time, the 10.5% was about 2 points above the prime rate. So we did regulations to basically allow us to have a floating fixed rate at 2 points above prime to a maximum of 10.5 that's allowed for in the statute.
Would it, if I may, Mr. Chairman,
please.
Would it be a reasonable assumption that a fisherman would not be able to get 2 points above prime through a normal bank loan?
That's kind of hard to estimate because it depends what kind of collateral they have and how strong they are financially. One thing to keep in mind is that the Division of Investments and CFAB are the only two entities that can finance limited entry permits and take them as collateral. And CFAB's rates fluctuate according to what they can borrow money for through the bank of cooperatives that they belong to.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is the fact that this program exists is caused by the fact that many of the states, because of the reasons you stated, many of the states limited entry permit holders could not get commercial loans in the private sector. First,
that's correct.
Is this Richard? Is this the same account that we recently proposed funding IFQ acquisitions out of?
Mr. Chairman, yes, it is.
So, tell me what's the health of the account now? Taken into consideration, say, refinancing under this measure and expanding to IFQs, is your prognosis that there's ample funds in there to do all of this type of stuff and still have it to be a perpetual fund?
Mr. Chairman, the Commercial Fishing Fund has not received a general fund infusion since 1985, and in fact has repaid a lot of money back. The total, just in raw dollars, investment in the Commercial Fishing Fund by the general fund amounts to $60 million, and of that, in excess of $40 million has been repaid. Currently, we projected a $5 million excess of funds over demand at the end of FY94. IFQs, we really have no estimate as to how much cash is going to be needed for that. The refinancing allowed for with this legislation would really do nothing to the fund right now, but in future years would simply lessen the amount of money coming back. So it is possible in future years that it would lower the ability of that fund to revolve, but it doesn't seem to be a major problem.
And in all cases, the equity and the solidity of those that would be refinancing would be assured. I mean, we're not looking at bad debt boats or boat loans or things like that. These are all solid, aren't they?
Mr. Chairman, for the most part, they are. Of course, we've experienced a lot of limited entry permits dropping in value. It was our intention to do a streamlined type refinance so that we would not be extensively reviewing all of the collateral again. We would simply be filing the necessary documents and going through the legal hoops and trying to do it as quickly as possible. We also would not be inclined to refinance debt that was delinquent. And of course, that could work to our advantage. I'm sure anybody that was a few months down would want to bring current in order to get the benefit from this program.
And one more, then I'll turn it over to President Porter. What about the IRS, the loans that the IRS is currently moving on? Would some of those potentially, could they be assisted by this mechanism?
Mr. Chairman, certainly if the borrower's payments were reduced, they would have more cash available to do things with. I don't know if those that currently have IRS problems, if this would have a major impact on them.
Representative Porter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In light of the efficient way that you plan to do this, I see a fiscal note that's got an additional four positions required.
That's correct. Mr. Chairman,
I'm sorry?
Is that efficient?
If you notice on the fiscal note, the positions we've asked for are primarily technical, loan closers and accounting technicians. In order to refinance a loan, you originate a new loan and pay off the old loan, and you have to ensure that the promissory notes, the deeds of trust, the papers that hold the limited entry permit as collateral, all those things must be filed with the proper agencies to make sure that the collateral stays intact. And that's what these people are going to be used for. Now, we project that we can get this done within 1 year. That's why the fiscal note only shows an expense during FY94.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You say that's the way you're going to do it, but since you're effectively the bank and the applicant is not changing, is all that absolutely necessary? That you can't just notify him that there's been a change of interest like sometimes happens on the home?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Green, these loans were set up as fixed-rate loans. If they had been set up as variable-rate loans with some method of floating, you could do it that way. Because they're a fixed-rate loan, essentially to refinance, you would pay off the old loan and make a new loan to handle.
Representative Moses, did you have...
I mainly wanted to comment. There are two programs. Maybe I wanted to comment, the CFAB and this program are loan programs that were set up to help the fishermen, but right now we're charging a premium. And what you see, what you'll see happening, and I know two individuals that refinanced with commercial banks, your better customers to these programs are going to go get the better the rates. So you, technically, you're going to lose your better participants in the program because they can go get the financing from a bank at conservative less rate. And normally the banks charge 2.5% over to fishermen.
All right. Thank you very much. Then I think next I'll go out on teleconference to Kodiak, Mr. Bruce, Bruce Schaffler. Is that correct, Bruce? Would you step forward, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's Schaffler, but over the years I'll answer to almost anything anymore. Yes, I'm very pleased that this loan program is being amended. I'm here representing not only myself, but I'm representing Area K Sainers Association here in Kodiak, approximately 100 of us, and as well as other fishermen within Kodiak. I've talked up and down the street, back and forth, and I'd like the committee here to know that everyone that I've talked to outside the organization and of course within our organization is totally in favor of this refinancing. It is something that is so needed that I can't even express how badly this is needed by everyone. I think Representative Moses said it very well. You know, it's very difficult for many of us with some of these permits. I know personally I own a permit that's worth less than 25% of the $200,000+ that I paid for it. And it's a pretty tough thing to do to when you owe three times as much money on something as you could sell it for. I know that's, I'm not complaining really. It's not the state's problem, but it is the state's permit and the state's resources, and we appreciate at least having this brought to the table. Mr. Richards' comments there that the state of Alaska is, to a certain extent, in favor of giving us a hand on this. You know, this money is really the citizens' money that the state is loaning back to us, and we really would like to see come into the reality of the modern banking world here and bring these things down, these loans down to an interest rate that is more in line with what everyone else is doing. I understand the fiscal problems, the financial problems each year that we are having. I do hope that the members of the legislature that look at a $1.6 million shortfall, or we're going to have $1.6 million less in interest, might look at that and think that that's a lot. But on the other hand, we shouldn't have to take our money at 10.5% interest and use it to loan to my competitor at 8%. It's just there's something that the picture doesn't look quite right there. I would like to point out that also by being able to refinance these loans, it would be consistent with the state's policy on their housing loans. In November we couldn't refinance, and in December all of a sudden we could refinance, and those are all being done on a short form basis. You fill in the blanks and send it in and it's a done deal. I would really urge that Commerce take up this same, follow suit with this same type of form, and it would be nice if they could just send us a letter and say, well, we've changed it from 10.5% to 8%, but I do understand that we have to pay this thing off and then reloan the money at a lower interest rate. But whatever they can do to use this short form would definitely get the origination fees down to where we shouldn't have any type of a problem with the rest of the legislature supporting this type of program. Also, the re-amortization of these permits over the refinancing, for example, if we have five years left on the loan at 10.5%, and we could turn around, re-borrow the money at 8% and stretch it back over 10 years, this $1.6 million, you are going to get a certain amount of that back by increasing the amortization or re-amortizing this loan. The state wouldn't realize the loan being paid back quite so soon, but in the long run, I think they'd get just as much money out of it. So, conclusion there, without preaching to the choir here, so to speak, I urge you to pass this bill, and I think it's something that the fishing community needs very badly, and that in the long run would be best for the state of Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. Next, we have Jerry McCune, the head of the UFA. Jerry, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Jerry McCune, as just stated. I'm president of the United Fishermen of Alaska, which represents 17 organizations. And we always support this bill, you know. And I've been around the whole state, you know, and looking at residents struggling. And a lot of this is taking place during the oil spill, and people bought in, you know, when the permits were at a premium then, and things look real good if you give the projection of what your income is and, you know, everything. But right now there's a lot of people struggling, really struggling hard, and this would give them a little bit of relief. This would spread some more money around to the communities and get some of these people, you know, up on their feet and running. And as we're tackling our marketing and things, I think things look bright in the future, but it's going to take a few years to get off the ground with marketing and getting state going in the right direction and us going in the right direction, so we have some solid ground with the salmon and the crab and everything. But this right now would be just I'm getting phone call after phone call on this one, and it would really help the Alaska resident tremendously to be able to refinance these loans and help a lot of these people out, these families that are struggling all the way from Kodiak down to Southeast. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. That's the last of our folks that indicated that wish to testify. Chair would entertain the wishes of the committee at this time, unless there's someone else in the audience that wish to testify. All right. Any other questions of the committee? Wishes of the committee? Representative Mackey?
I'd move the bill with individual recs.
Are there any objections to moving the bill with individual recommendations with the fiscal note attached?
Yep.
Hearing none. House Bill 252 is hereby refinanced.
Thank you.
Linda, how are we on our...
We're all set.
All set? Okay. All right.
Oops. Okay.
I just want to set a camera. I can't find it in my heart.
You're a nice guy.
Too nice. You'll never go anywhere. Like me. We're on
telephone.
All right. Next, we're going to take up committee substitute for. We're not going to take up House Bill number 50 and House Bill number 51. These are a companion pair of bills that were originally introduced to the committee by sponsor Representative Barr and others to authorize power transmission interties. And you will recall, committee members, that we did hear the opening salvos on this, on these two bills, and her testimony on teleconference. It is the chairman's interest in dealing with with the workings of this important piece of legislation with our counterparts over on the Senate side, as well as in discussions with many of you. The original version that we had was not the version that this committee was interested in passing out. So what the chair has done is to take the liberty to prepare a committee substitute, and that's what you have before you here now, dated 4-8-93, which is hot off the press, both for 50 and 51. The language within here may not be perfect, but it is fairly all-inclusive. I believe that it takes care of the power transmission interties between Anchorage and Kenai, Healy and Fairbanks, Sutton and Glen Allen, and in our own southeast Alaska, particularly lower southeast, Swan Lake and Tyee Lake. Now, and it relates to procurement of contracts for electric transmission lines and creating a new four-dam pool account. You'll notice that there's nothing in here for Juneau. So I want all you folks up north, Joe, and the rest of you to recognize just how generous Jerry Mackey and I are in bringing this back before you in this form. But the truth of the matter is that I believe that it does, it is good legislation in its current recrafted form, and it's my intention to see what the wishes of this committee are. If we feel comfortable enough with it at this stage to go ahead and adopt these committee substitute and move them on to the Finance Committee, where they will be dealt with, in my opinion, and where it really needs to be dealt with, because it is a finance issue once the policy is determined whether or not we're going to go along with it or not. So, Representative Porter.
Well, part of the financing and policy seem to, I think, properly intermingle in terms of financing the project. Is there anybody here that can explain what the financing structure is?
No.
No? I really have, Mr. Chairman, I really have reluctance. I have a rumor as to what this says, but these copies are still warm.
I agree. As a matter of fact, what I was going to suggest, but I didn't want to be too heavy-handed, was that, number one, we adopt the committee substitutes before us for further discussion, and we reschedule them probably Tuesday, and we will have folks in to testify on them at that time. Would that be the wishes of the committee? Would we all feel more comfortable with that? If that were the case, what I would like to do is to effectively put these two drafts before the committee and before the committee, and that was primarily my intention today. So, Representative Mackey, do you have a question?
The only problem I have, I guess, with this whole issue, not in relation to these bills, this is the first I've seen these two, but you know, we're talking about millions and millions of intertie upgrades in the urban centers, and we're talking about the same majority organization cutting power cost equalization at the same time. I'm wondering where these kind of things ever mesh. I know this doesn't deal with this bill, but I'm just going to say that anyway. Hopefully by Tuesday, maybe somebody can check out what's happening with PCE as well. I mean, there's got to be some kind of a way to balance, you know, that. I mean, these are truly needed, I'm sure, for those areas, just like other things are needed in other parts of the state. And,
Representative Mackey, I think I hear you loud and clear, and I believe that's one of the questions that we will try to have answers for next Tuesday when we bring these bills back before us. I think that the thing that we're accomplishing here is we're getting rid of language in the previous bills that we had here, and we're placing at least some beginning thoughts of a more inclusive, all-inclusive solution that I agree with you does not solve the PCE, the power cost equalization issue, which is of deep concern to the rest of the state of Alaska. And this has become, like it or not, an energy bill for the state of Alaska. And so what we would hope to do would be to try to address those questions next time around and hopefully find some answers to it. I do not want anybody to believe that these are my bills or that I agree with these in total. But as chairman of this committee, and we have to deal with this subject, and time is becoming of the essence, it's important that we move it along and get before us language that we can then modify subject to further testimony next week. So with that, Representative Mack.
Yeah, you know, and I should have clarified, my comments aren't directed to the sponsor because I know this sponsor understands exactly what my concerns are as an individual, but what I'm saying is, you know, I'd have a hard time voting for, you know, to put millions and millions and millions into these kind of projects and go home and also on the same breath report that our PCE was cut again and again and again. So at some point in time, I guess maybe there needs to be some kind of agreement amongst the leadership or whoever's going to make the kind of decisions. Well, either we're going to improve our electrical systems and needs throughout the state or we're going to have problems.
At this stage, the chair would entertain a motion to adopt Committee Substitute House Number 50, Labor and Commerce 4893.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any objections to the adopting of this Committee Substitute to place it before the committee for further action? Hearing none, so done. Representative Porter, 51.
Two. I thought your motion included both. I would move to adopt for consideration CS for HB 51, Labor and Commerce 4893.
And so the motion has been made to adopt a CS for House Bill Number 51, LNC 4893 Kramer. And any objections? Hearing none. These two bills then will be held over and rescheduled. And this committee has no further work to be done this afternoon. Is there anything that the committee wishes to bring up at this time before I gavel us out here? Happy Easter.